Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God. I hope and pray that you're doing well in this 5 o'clock hour. It is Monday, February 13th, 2023, and we are back in studio to start a new series, a new study, a new look at Joshua, the book of Joshua, and the title of our series is Complete Success Assured. Complete Success Assured, despite overwhelming odds. Despite overwhelming odds. Our scripture text comes to us from Joshua chapter 17, verse 18. It's the latter part of verse 18. It says, "For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong." Let us pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that while we may be few in numbers compared to the ungodly, you guarantee complete success against all odds. Bless us, O Lord, as we begin this study. Open our eyes to your biblical truth, and Holy Spirit, have your way with our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. Let me begin by saying what others have said. And this is what's been said over the generations. This is something that my grandmother told me. This is something that my dad told me. Whenever I faced adversity, taking my mother's place was my grandmother. And, of course, my father was there, and he fulfilled his role as a dad. And both said to me at different junctures of my life, when I came to them with a complaint, they would say to me, Who said life was going to be easy? Who said life? So we turn to the book of Joshua, the 17th chapter. And in this chapter, at the tail end of this chapter, Joshua's family, or Joshua's tribe, or as the Bible calls it, the children of Joseph. Joseph the patriarch, one of the 12 minor patriarchs. There were three major patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those are the three major ones. And the 12 sons of Jacob make up the minor patriarchs. Joseph, who later on became the prime minister of Egypt, he was one of the minor patriarchs, and he had two children, two sons, with an Egyptian wife. One of the sons' name was Manasseh, the other one's name was Ephraim. Manasseh was the firstborn, Ephraim was the secondborn. And so here in Joshua chapter 17, from verses 14 through 18, the two tribes of Joseph, or as the text refers to them, the children of Joseph. In other places, the Bible refers to the two tribes as the house of Joseph. They come to Joshua with a complaint. They are voicing a complaint. Now, Joshua can't play favorites. He proceeds from the tribe of Ephraim. He is closely connected to the tribe of Manasseh through blood, and he cannot show any favoritism to his tribe and to his brother tribe, the tribe of Manasseh. So we're going to be reading, and we're going to be taking our time to lay out the foundation of this study. Today we're going to be working on our introduction so that this way, as we move forward, we can appreciate the nuances of verse 18 when we get there. So we're going to start at verse number 14. And in verse 14, we have the complaint. Thus beginneth the reading of God's holy word. We're going to be reading from the New King James Bible. We're going to be reading one verse at a time. So here is the complaint.
Then the children of Joseph spoke to Joshua.
Why have you given us only one lot and one share to inherit? Since we are a great people, inasmuch as the Lord has blessed us.
So the complaint is, listen, we're two tribes. And in our eyes, you've given us the land portion of one tribe. We are a great people. We're in the thousands and thousands. And it seems like you have been unfair with us. And instead of giving us a portion that represents two tribes, you are squeezing two tribes into one parcel of land. So that's the complaint. Now in verse 15, we have Joshua's challenge to them. Now, of course, the complaint is unfounded. It's an unfounded complaint because the land was apportioned according to divine lots. Lots were cast, and the Lord was the one who determined. God was the one who gave each tribe their tract of land. So the complaint was unfounded, but the complaint was registered. And, you know, as a pastor, as leaders, when people have a complaint, let them register it. Then we are to do what Joshua does in verse 15, and we are to challenge the complaint if the complaint is unfounded. So let's read verse 15. So in verse 14, you have the complaint. In verse 15, you have the challenge. This is Joshua's response. Joshua's challenge to his fellow tribesmen.
Until now.
If you are a great people, then go up to the forest country and clear a place for yourself there in the land of the Perizzites and the giants. since the mountains of Ephraim are too confined for you.
So he says, here's the challenge. Here's the challenge. Go and conquer more land. Now remember, go back to verse 14. It says in verse 14, and the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, why hast thou given us but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing we are a great people? So Joshua says, okay, if your claim is true that you are a great people, then go conquer more land. Great people do great things. The Perizzites have your land. Go take it from them. You see, they were saying, well, the Perizzites are there and we can't move in and, you know, we can't. No. And Joshua says, wait. On the one hand, you claim you're a great people and you claim that you are many in number. And then now you claim that the land is too narrow or too little for both tribes. So since you made the claim that you're great, and which you are, that's true, go, the challenge is, go take the land, get the squatters off of it, take the Perizzites off the land. It's your land. Clear them out. Take possession of what God has given you, and then you will have your two portions. The reason why you have one portion and the reason why you claim to have meager amount of land is because you are letting the ungodly sit on the land God has given you. All righty. So now in verse 16, we have the confession. And the confession is, we can't. We can't. And the reason why we can't is because of the enemy. Oh, the enemy this, the enemy that. So let's read verse 16. We can't is their response to Joshua. Now remember, their claim was they're a great people. Their complaint is you've given us little land. The challenge is, well, go get it. It's yours. And now the response is we can't. Verse 16.
The mountain country is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites who dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both those who are of Beth Shean and its towns, and those who are of the valley of Jezreel.
You see, we can't. Oh, but wait a minute. You claim to be great, and you claim to have a great God. Greatness is on your side, but then out of your mouth comes, we can't. You see, it's double talk. Joshua is listening to double talk. On the one hand, we are destined for greatness. On the other hand, we can't achieve it. Well, which one is it? Which one is it? So if you're destined for greatness, go claim it. Go earn it. Go get it. And the response is, we can't. Why? The Canaanites, they have chariots of iron. They're just so well equipped, we won't be able to do it. Okay. So now in verse number 17 is the reality. The reality. And this is what Joshua says to them. This is reality. Take stock of yourself and know who you are. Verse 17.
And Joshua spoke to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh.
You are a great people and have great power. You shall not have only one lot.
See, you're a great people and you have great power. Therefore, you shouldn't settle for nothing. Don't settle for one lot. Go get the other lot, which is yours. Don't let the enemy sit on your land. Get them out. Evict them. Get them out. Get them off the land which the Lord thy God has given you. Well, they're paralyzed by fear. Again, they keep claiming greatness. They keep claiming they serve a great God. And yet, meager results. Meager results. Doesn't that sound like the church today? Oh, listen, you hear the churches, the preaching, oh, we have a great God and we're a great people. And the singing, oh, all these great songs, all these wonderful songs that talk about the greatness of the church. And yet, what? Meager results. We can't do this. We can't do that. It comes out of the mouth of so many saints. We can't. And yet, when they're singing, and when they're talking, and when the preaching is going on, greatness over here, greatness over there, greatness everywhere, but it's greatness on paper, not in reality. And Joshua says, listen, you indeed are a great people. I'm not just lying to you. It's a fact. You're great. You're a great people, and you have great strength. Therefore, don't settle for one parcel. Two people, two tribes ought to have two parcels. If you don't have it, it's not because of God. If you don't have it, it's not because of me. If you don't have it, it's because great people with great power are sitting on their hands. Go get it. Now, here's verse number 18. And verse number 18 is the exhortation. This is the exhortation. You can. In verse 17, or rather in verse 16, when they say we can't, Joshua concludes the chapter by exhorting them and telling them you can. You can achieve your goals. You can achieve what God has destined for you. Just go get it. So verse 18 is the exhortation, and it's a short one. So let's read verse 18.
But the mountain country shall be yours. Although it is wooded, you shall cut it down, and its farthest extent shall be yours. For you shall drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots and are strong.
Now, look at what Joshua says. He says, listen, I know that the iron chariots are real. I know that the Canaanites are real. I know that their strength is real. I'm not downplaying what they have. I'm not downplaying their numbers. I'm not downplaying their strength. All of that is real. Everything you've told me is real. But also, you are real. And your reality is that God has given you the land. God has made you stronger. God has made you mightier. God has made you more than conquerors. So go and get it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. So let's look at these five key points. That I want to talk to you about today before we actually get into the text. Five critical points that really parallel life today. When you look at your life and you look at my life, we're all very, very busy. Take, for example, the people in Joshua's day from the tribe of Ephraim and Manasseh. They had five things they had to do. First of all, they had to clear the land God had given them. Clear the land. Well, what do you mean they had to clear the land? Well, look at verse 18. But the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood or a forest. Thou shalt cut down the trees. You see, Joshua is saying, listen, all that wooded land, all that, listen, that's where all your lumber is for your houses. And once you clear the land, that's where you're going to live. So you really don't see the potential. But your second lot, your second portion is in this wooded mountain. And once you start clearing it, you will see how big your second lot is. So like all of us, the Israelites were very, very busy. So, one, they have to clear the land. Now, once you clear the land, the second thing you have to do is you have to build homes. They had to build homes, and not just homes, but also homesteads. Remember, these were agricultural people. These people were agrarian people. They lived off the land. So it's not just building a house. No, you had to build the house and the barn. You had to build the house and all the pens where you were going to keep your livestock. You had to build the wells of water. So your first task, clear the land, chop the trees down, uproot the trunks of those trees, just clear the land. There's all of this fertile land. It's an amazing piece of land. Let's clear it all out. Then once you clear it out, you got to build the homes and you got to build the barns and you got to build the corrals. You got to build the homesteads. Number three, while you're clearing the land and while you're building the homes, at the same time, you're raising families. You're raising children. You're teaching children. You're schooling children. You're caring for your elderly. That's the, you know, listen. When you're clearing the land, when you're chopping down the trees, pulling up the trunks, uprooting big logs and massive trees of all kinds, of all different names and kinds of trees, you still got to raise your kids. You still have to feed them breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You still have to wash them. You have to take care of them. So you listen. This speaks of a busy life. I'm sure you have a busy life. I sure have a busy life. So you're raising families, caring for your elderly. You're caring for the little ones. You're caring for the older ones. While the ones in the middle, remember, children can't clear trees. Children can't cut trees down. They can't. You'll lose a life. So children are at home while adults are clearing the forest, while other adults are building homes and homesteads. Someone's raising the kids. Someone's taking care of grandpa and grandma. No nursing homes back then. Everything was done within the family unit. The family unit took care of the family unit. Number four, you have to farm your lands, because what are you going to eat? You can't eat tree barks. You can't eat leaves. In addition to clearing the land, chopping the trees down, doing all the logging that you have to do, and all the home building, building homes, raising families, you also had to farm. You had to plow. You had to sow. You had to harvest what you planted and you sowed. So those are the four major things. Clear the land. Clear your plots. Clear your fields. Bring down the trees, start invading the forest, build your homes, build your homesteads, dig those wells, get your sources of water supply so that you can give water to your livestock and you can have water to drink and water to bathe and water to wash dishes and water to wash clothes. Water is essential. Then at the same time, you're raising little ones. You're taking care of the elderly. And number four, you are plowing those fields, you are sowing your seeds, and you are reaping your harvest. In addition to those four things, in addition to that, you had to conquer the land. You had to take on the Canaanites. Now, when you clear land, when you're chopping trees, trees don't fight back. When you lay an axe to a tree doesn't take one of its branches and whack you. It doesn't, as you are attacking the tree never attacks you back. But not so the Canaanites. As you try to clear the land and expel the Canaanites will fight back. And these Canaanites are mighty. They are, the text says here, let's go back to verse number 18. Joshua says, I agree with you. They be strong. That's real. These Canaanites, they fight. And they'll give you a good fight. And they just don't quit in the fifth round. They take you the distance. These Canaanites fight 15 rounds. They are strong. You can't knock them out with one punch. It's a slugfest. It's last man standing. So they be strong. And, yes, they have an advantage you don't have. They have these chariots of iron. They have these mighty fighting vehicles. They have these movable, mobile firing platforms that you don't have. Yes, and in addition to that, you got to fight them while plowing and sowing and harvesting and raising children and schooling children and picking them up at school and dropping them off at school. And you got to build your home and you got to take care of your animals and you got to pump your water and you got to do the laundry and you got to do the dishes and you got to, you know, you got to do what you got to do. Life is what? Life is overwhelming. So, the series title is Complete Success Despite Overwhelming Odds. I know life can be overwhelming, but despite that, we can win St. Johnsville to the Lord. We can take St. Johnsville, which today is a land, a place that sits in utter darkness. Spiritually speaking, it is the land of the Canaanites. We can extend the glory and the kingdom of God despite overwhelming odds. We can do it spiritually. We can push back the forces of darkness despite the fact that we have to maintain homes, maintain families, go about our daily business, plowing and sowing and harvesting. We can still fight the forces of darkness back, and we can expand the kingdom of God. We can. There's no reason why, my precious brothers and sisters, there's no reason why we should settle for meager living. God has promised us a large portion. And Joshua says, go get it. Go get it. Now, of course, we have to juggle a lot of things. But complete success is assured despite overwhelming odds. Are we a match for Satan? No. Are we a match for the forces of darkness? No. Are we a match in wisdom against the enemies of our soul? Mm-mm. He is so smart. He is so experienced. He is so wily. Yet despite overwhelming odds, God, through his word, says, fear them not. Go get the big portion. Go extend your borders. Go and believe for expansion. Go and believe for what? Multiplication. This is what God says to his people. In the text, Joshua says to them, indeed, you are a great people. Indeed, you are a strong people. Go get it. And that's what God is saying to us today in this series. Well, I shall be back tomorrow. We shall begin to look at the text and break it down. And I hope and pray that your view of what God would have us to do will come into focus. May God bless you. Don't forget tomorrow, 6:55 p.m., join us for prayer. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day, but don't forget to join us for prayer. God bless you. In Jesus' name. For I am with you, not.
Oh.